Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Next Step Leadership Podcast. Thank all of you for joining us. Tracy Reynolds and I just are honored to have this opportunity to have conversations with one another and with people that we believe whose voices, whose perspectives, whose wisdom needs to be heard today. And Tracy, just the comments that we heard last week and that I'm sure we'll hear again this week, these are what we need to hear, these types of comments.
I so agree. I love relationships that weather time. And I've been a friend of Dan Ryland's, though we don't live in the same city. The Lord has placed us together on numerous times, and every time I've had a conversation with Dan, it's been meaningful. Mm-hmm. And I can say that with total veracity. You know, Dan has been an executive pastor at a large, thriving church, but he's never forgotten smaller churches and other individuals and helping people along the way. And I appreciate that. And so, Dan, it's always great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us again on Next Step Leadership.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Chris. You guys are friends. So yeah. This isn't a job or a task. Actually, I see it as a wonderful conversation, and yeah. I appreciate both of you.
Well, we appreciate you
very thanks,
much.
Man. Well, I want to dive back in because if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first podcast, I would encourage you right now just to hit pause and go listen to the last week's podcast because there's some great stuff. But I want to dive back into some things we were talking about. I mentioned that every Sunday night, early Monday morning, you have a blog that comes out. And at the heart of that is not just a leadership lesson, but it's leading people in the relationship with Jesus. And it always has to do, it's not always just church. It's sometimes just, you know, how do you deal with our issues in life itself? So do you have a set of cornerstone scriptures that have just helped form you as a follower of Jesus over these years?
You know, I absolutely love to read the Word of God. When I was a younger Christian, my devotional time was just full with worship and then prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, worship music and then prayer. And I don't know why, I don't need to figure out why, but I shifted, I don't know, halfway along the way somewhere from a lot of worship music back, especially even all the way up to like Promise Keepers days. I used to love those, you know, CDs and stuff. And somehow I switched and it's like, I just love the Word. And I don't listen to as much worship music, but I love the Word. Now, having said that I love the Word, but I'm not really a life verse kind of guy. Okay. You know, I don't.
Right.
And that said, this question made me think a little bit, and there was a scripture, as a couple of them actually, as a new Christian that marked me and just never went away. And then I'll share a couple other things. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, just, I don't know. I mean, I remember just as a high school senior, I found a poster with it and put it up on my wall. You know, it's kind of weird, you know, but it was, you know how sometimes a scripture hits you. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation's come, the old is gone, the new is here. And even though there's a bit of a mystery to it that I've wondered about all these years, like, I'm not sure all of my old is gone.
Bumping into that stuff, yeah.
It's like, yeah, but I'm quite certain the new has, you know,
exactly.
And I know, anyway, and there was another one. So that one's always been deeply meaningful to me. And then in Luke 18:27, those who heard when he's asked, you know, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, this was the line that just jumped out. He said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I know that was about salvation, the rich ruler and all that stuff, but it just hit me bigger and more visionary and more about leadership. And so that has stuck with me. But that was like literally the first years of my faith. Mm-hmm. I think for the decades of my faith. I don't know why I have a strange but powerful, cool connection with the book of Ephesians. The whole book, the first three chapters in the theology and the last three chapters, I think it's because of my love for the church, and it's so clear, and the direction is so clear, and it's so practical. The staff tease me. They know. I mean, like, just if Dan has to give a last second talk and he doesn't just tell him, just invite him to talk in the book of Ephesians, because he'll do that, you know. But on the other side, because that's maybe God's practical side that he put in me, is just I love that book. But then in the Psalms, I love to just sit and soak and have favorites. Like, do you guys know that section, Psalm 95, 96, 98, 100, that praise and worship section? Oh, my gosh. And then Psalm 121, where does my help come from? And 34 is another one, more comfort. So in the New Testament, I find myself, obviously I love the Gospels, but I the go-to kind of rock for me has been the book of Ephesians. And then the balancing out with Psalms is kind of a sweet spot for me.
That's good, and I love both of those. As an early follower of Christ, other than the Gospels, it was the book of Ephesians that helped me to grasp that. And I can remember all of my years of pastoring, there were so many times I would be like, I'm going to quote Ephesians somehow in this because of the impact it had on me. And now I say it so often, I'm a Psalm addict. I mean, I cannot I cannot leave the Psalms alone. They do not leave me alone. And, you know, I love the poetry. I love the rhythm and the pace and just the writing style. But the honesty and the transparency and knowing everything that Tracy and I want out of this podcast and just, you know, the heart that you have talking about people not living life alone, but moving from the singular to the plural and being part of a community. Think about David and the other psalmist. I mean, David writing this as a poetic journal entry in his prayer language, and that eventually becoming a confessional hymn for a nation. And so it was bringing community. It was building community as they put those psalms together. Isn't that great to think about it?
It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, let's shift the focus just as a little bit, slightly. Prayer. We've talked about the ministry of the Word of God in our lives and worship, and those are all huge parts of that. I'm assuming that prayer has probably kind of, as it has with us, morphed a bit. When you've been following Jesus, like we referred to our high school days, but what are some of the things that, and how has prayer morphed and evolved in the course of your life as it relates to your spiritual formation and growth?
Yeah, thanks, Tracy. Something we alluded to earlier my early Christian development, I kind of launched and started the metaphor or whatever I have used is kind of a dutiful soldier. You know, I just like, I got to win the world for Jesus. And, wait a minute, I got to run downstairs and have my quiet time. Right. And then off I go, you know, kind of I'm not necessarily making fun of myself, but it was just where I started, how I was wired. And God has really let me move from that dutiful soldier to beloved son. And for me, I'm thrilled for all everybody who started like that. But for me, that wasn't an easy transition. And we could talk about all the why, but you don't want me laying on a couch today talking about, you know, you know, an hour or three. Then I was 4 years old. No. but I just learned to put relationship over routine. And that was a breakthrough. Let me tell a quick story. When I was, again, a younger pastor just out of seminary, back with John Maxwell at the church at Skyline in San Diego, there was an older gentleman, I think about 85 years old then on staff. His name was Ira Shanafelt. How's that for a great Irish name? Ira and Almeida Shanafelt. And I just loved when I heard him pray, and I'd never heard anybody pray like that. And so I said, can I have some time with you? Will you show me how to pray? Will you? And he said, come over to my house. And I went over there, and I went in and sat down like a dutiful soldier in his living room. Okay, teach me to pray. You know, I got my notebook, you know, and I'm going to write down the 17 steps, you know. And the early blogger coming out in me. and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm ready to write. He says, put that down. And I just looked at him, and he's got these big old meat hooks of hands. He says, come out with me. You were going to go in the garden. And I just thought, okay, it's right. I went out to the side of the house there where he had this beautiful, I thought large, but I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 trees of a little citrus grove of lemon trees and orange trees and grapefruit trees. And I said, what are we doing out here? And he said, just walk with me. And I'll never forget this. He started picking citrus fruit slowly and carefully, and he'd look by the leaves, and he just started talking with God. It blew my mind. And then it was like he was hearing from God. That blew my mind. It was the most gentle, beautiful, natural thing I've ever seen. And it just took me a long time to get there. I think I'm closer to it. Yeah. And so that's been a big morphing thing for me, giving myself permission to have a relationship. And that picture will never escape me. It's one of the greatest gifts ever been given. And I still will use prayer lists, and I have prayer partners, and so I pray for them and they pray for me and I write things down. But I find myself now morphing to, even in more recent years, in the middle of my prayer time, I'll say things like, Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. Yes. And I don't mean the Lord's Prayer thing, but I mean in the moment, I don't know what to pray. Yeah. I get stuck between asking and intercession and all those things. And so just teach me to pray. And he does. He prompts. Mm-hmm. If I'm quiet for a minute, it's like pray this way or pray for this person. Another thing that has been actually a longer practice, but it's morphs along the way because I see it less needing it less. But I have this three by five cards, you know, everywhere because I write to do things. But in my prayer room, I have a cool little prayer room in my basement. I have 3x5 cards because when I go down there in the morning, my mind is running, and I can't stop it. I don't know how to stop it, and it's spinning. And I think there's 37 things in my mind, and so I've learned all the time, almost every day. I'll call this person, do this email, all these things, and I get distracted, and I write them on a 3x5, and then the next one pops up, and I write it on a 3, and then the next one, and after a while they stop. Mm-hmm. And the first thing is, there's never 25 or 35 or 50, it's about 6. But they're spinning, and I can't stop them, and then I get them out, and I calm down, and I can focus. It's a great little practice for me. And that allows me to have morphed into where I am now, more meditation, more quiet, more listening, because in contrast to what I'm doing now, talking too much, I try not to talk all the time because I think, you know, maybe the God of the universe, maybe the creator of all that there is and ever will be could have something of value to say to me.
Mm. You know? You think?
Yes. Maybe. But I've had to learn and morph into being quiet.
You know, that is so practical. I do a very similar thing, Dan. I appreciate how God is helping us to learn to just to walk with Him, mm-hmm. just to have our you know, we talk about having our being in Him. Yeah. We don't do things to impress God, but no, we just enjoy. It's hard for me to believe that God, the God that created the universe, would want time with me. But he does.
Yes, he does.
So very good. Well, I want to talk a bit about a book that it's not your latest book, but Leadership Alone Isn't Enough. It's 40 Devotions to Strengthen Your Soul. Like I said, I think that it kind of walks in tandem with your blog each week. But I was intrigued first by the title, which is a good thing, right? It's part of the, right? Give it a strategic title. If leadership alone isn't enough, Dan, then what else is needed?
Good question. Well, besides chocolate chip cookies and, you know, because that's...
I knew I people, liked you. Know, I mean, I knew I liked you, but now I really, really like you.
Oh, man, chocolate chip cookies. Yep. People say, don't eat the sugar. You're going to die early. You know what? If I die 2 years young because of chocolate chip cookies, I'm good.
I'm good. Good with
yep. I'll give up 2 years for chocolate chip. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, come on, you know. So I think, guys, that there's a divine partnership with us and God, the leadership partnership. And it's kind of a mystery, you know, because God doesn't actually need us, you know. Right. And he brings all the life-changing power, yet in his design, he chose to do this through us.
Yes.
He chose to come, you know, he's here with us and to have his partner with him. And he does his part and we do our part. Mm-hmm. And he does what we can't do. So, you know, I love the question because, you know, if leadership alone isn't enough, well, what else is there? I think there are things like, well, power, you know. Mm-hmm. I think men and women can muscle a church forward. You can actually, if I can say this, I will say it, you can actually build a church without Jesus. Mm-hmm. You can just muscle it forward, but it's not going to last. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
His power is actually the life-changing power. So that's at the core, the Holy Spirit, this dependence, walking with him, not thinking it's our talent. He gave us talents. He gave us skills. He gave us abilities. But it's really not. It's, again, that mysterious sort of divine partnership. I think there's community. I think there's faith. There's just a whole host of things that we need. And when I wrote that, my first devotional, and I say it that way because I don't think I'll ever do another one. It was really, it was quite a labor of love. When I was writing, I was trying to address those kinds of things, but to do it in a unique way, because I really don't know that the world needs another devotional, certainly not written by me. But I did a lot of research, and I found three devotionals written to leaders. Now I've noticed two or three or four coming out a year later, but there weren't any. So this devotional is written specifically to leaders on these kinds of things.
Well, I certainly have enjoyed, my way of doing this is sometimes I need a devotional supplement. I have some time, you know, that I'm reading through scripture. But like you, I'm not as driven as I once was. I'm not. I like having a plan, but once I have a plan, I can change. It's kind of like jazz, you know. I've got a score and I've got the chords and the melody, but the cool stuff happens, you know, when you add to that and you tweak around that and you use substitution chords and stuff. Well, I found my relationship with Jesus more jazzy these days, in that regard.
That's good.
But this book has been helpful for me as a supplement. It's like, okay, here's a devotional thought. My mom has for years used guideposts and readings like that in the upper room and things like that. Well, those aren't trivial. Those are important things. And I just need sometimes just a little bit more. And sometimes it's sometimes even more meaningful than the time that I had when I was reading scripture or praying about something specific that was on my list, you know. I'm sad to hear that you might not write another book like this because I thought you did a really good job.
Well, thank you.
We will link to that, but I want to ask one more question.
Okay.
And that is, now, all three of us are in this what I've heard framed as the third third of life.
The third third.
The third third. So I'm not trying to make a math equation out of it, okay? Because I don't know about all that stuff. But we're not in the first third for sure. Probably not in the second third. But I think I'm okay. You can put me in a third. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to moving ahead, Dan Ryland?
Ah, yes. I mean, in my own life, right?
Yeah.
I guess what other life would there be? I should let you guys ask the question because that was the dumbest question I've asked in a long time. Anyway.
We appreciate your vulnerability, brother.
Yeah. We're in a triple succession here at 12 Stone Church, and which is really, really cool. The CFO, my role, XP, and senior pastor. And the CFO one is already complete. There are the three young guys, I call them, you know, the young guys, and they're all millennials. And I think of millennials as the kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And I realize they're not kids. They're super capable. They're ready to go. They're 36, 38, and 40 years old. They're like, let's go, you know. And but the board has asked Kevin and I to stay on a little longer, more transition to succession and do some specific things. And So I'm loving my role for a couple more years. I love the local church. But what I'm looking forward in this transition is my time there decreases a bit. I'll be increasing coaching and consulting. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to that. Already doing a little more because of the little space. And I'm looking forward to some more writing. Mm-hmm. I really am not a wired for a retirement kind of guy, but I will look for a little more space. I'll tell you a little secret that I've discovered. For the last 41 years, my calendar has been full. Mm-hmm. And now you think with a little more freedom to do coaching and consulting, it would be a little less. Well, it's actually more full. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that just makes me so excited. I'm like stupid giddy. Here's the difference, and it took 40 years to get there. The first 40 years, basically somebody else, other people filled my calendar. Mm-hmm. Now I fill my calendar, and I'm telling you, it's like getting born again. I love it. I love it. So that's a new thing I'll be writing. I'll be looking for, and I am already having more time with my grandkids.
There you go.
I consider that part of mentoring and leadership and legacy and fun and normalcy and breathing and life. And then maybe, just maybe, a little more playing my guitar, which I'm terrible at, but it's my fun. It's my fun.
Well, we appreciate you. Thanks for your heart. And also thank you for endorsing Tracy's book. I'm excited about
it. It's a great book.
It is good. And just thinking of everything that you've been talking to us about, and then this podcast, but also Tracy's perspective of that second chair, and knowing Tracy's heart, he's leading well in so many roles, and so much of what you're talking about, I see Tracy applying that, and I want people to buy Dan's books, I want people to buy Tracy's books, and you guys are making a positive difference in. You know, it's this life of ministry, of leadership, of serving, and finding ways to work hard but rest well so that we can become better at making our next steps, our best steps.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. Things fit.